பத்ரம் கண்ணே பஸ்ருணு யாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஸ்துஷ்டு வாகம்ஸஸ்தனுபிஹி வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்த்ரோ வ்ருத்தஸ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓகே, வி ஹவ் ஸ்டார்டட் த்விதீய முண்டகம், தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர். தேர் அகெய்ன் வி ஸ்டார்டட் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் செக்ஷன், தி பிரதம கண்ட ஆஃப் தி செகண்ட் முண்டகம். அண்ட் ஐ செட் பராவித்யா ஃபார்ம்ஸ் தி மெயின் சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் ஆஃப் தி ஹோல் ஆஃப் செகண்ட் சாப்டர் த்விதீய முண்டகம். பராவித்யா இஸ் ஆக்சுவலி பராவித்யா ஃபார்ம் சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் மீன்ஸ் தி அன்ஃபோல்ட்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் த ரியாலிட்டி. அது மெயின் ஐடியா இஸ் டு ஹெல்ப் அஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் அரைவர் தி அப்சல்யூட் ரியாலிட்டி. அண்ட் ஃபார் விச் தி வெரி ஓப்பனிங் வேர்ஸ் இட் செல்ஃப் இஸ் ஓப்பனிங் வேர்ஸ் அ மந்த்ரா வேரின் Absolute reality is presented as the Jagat Karanam, cause of the universe. And presenting the reality as the cause of the universe is, I said, is a methodology known as Karya Karana Prakriya or Srishti Prakriya. In this, there is analysis of the cosmos. And in reality, cause means the universe becomes the effect. Yesterday I said, once reality is presented as the cause, really the Upanishad is not interested in establishing the creation, nor is Upanishad interested in stating that Brahman is the cause of the universe. No. Just to understand what exactly Brahman is. And here, the reality is implied by the term Brahman, and this Brahman, when looked upon as the cause of the universe, is known as Ishvara. Is given Ishwaraha, the Lord, is a qualification attributed to the reality Brahman when looked at as the cause of the universe. And as they said, when you understand the cause, you reality as the cause and effect as the universe as the effect, and you have to understand certain features. How the cause is one, the cause is always there before the creation, during the creation, during the existence of the creation, and after the resolution of the creation also, the cause continues to be there. And cause is independent of the effect. Therefore, cause is the satyam. And the effect, if we analyze, effect has no independent existence. There's no content of the effect. There's no content or substance called the effect. And the effect has dependent existence. And effect is not always there. Effect comes and goes. These are the features we understand of the cause and the effect. When we apply the same features of cause and effect to Brahman and the universe, we can understand how reality implied with the term Brahman is Satyam, the universe is Mithya. The entire universe of innumerable countless forms and names, including time and space, have beginning and have an end, and they are non-substantial, contentless forms and names which are as good as non-existent. So you understand how universe is mithya, which means what universe, the existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. There's no such a thing called existence of the effect of its own. Therefore, cause alone is in the form of existence of the effect. Therefore, the effect is nothing but appearance of the cause. The cause alone continues to be in the form of the effect. There's no effect, really speaking. There's neither the cause nor the effect. So the reality is in the form of the universe. So where is Brahman? The question comes, that Brahman which alone was before the manifestation, Now he is with the forms, names and functions in the form of the universe. This is the one understanding we had. Now we had to move on to the next verse. And when you look at this, Brahman alone is in the form of the universe, you mean, we call Brahman obtaining in the form of universe as Sagunam Brahma or Ishwaraha. Okay, now we move on to the next verse, next mantra. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. It's a very important mantra. In this mantra, we are going to see the Swarupa Lakshanam. Yesterday, I used two words, Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman and Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. If when the Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe, and thereby, if you help to arrive at Brahman as the reality obtaining in the form of existence of the universe, it is known as Tadastha Lakshanam. Let me repeat again. Tadastha Lakshanam is a definition of Brahman, wherein Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe. When Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe, we say Brahman has come into existence from universe. Which means the universe having come into existence from Brahman does not have independent existence of its own. So existence enjoyed by the universe is existence borrowed from Brahman. Which means, in what form does Brahman obtain? Brahman obtains in the form of existence of the universe. Just as water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean, gold obtains in the form of existence of the chain or bangle, wood obtains in the form of existence of the furniture. The existence enjoyed by the form and name belongs to the cause. Therefore, existence enjoyed by the universe belongs to the reality Brahman. So, cause alone is in the form of existence of the effect means Brahman alone is in the form of existence of the universe. If we want to know what is Brahman, Brahman is existence of the universe. Sat. Satta. Satta means existence. Sat means existence. So Brahman is in the form of existence of the universe. So we do not know, we have to understand what that Brahman is. We can only say the existence, when I see the whole Jagat enjoys existence means, the existent, the cause is in the form of existence of the universe. So we can say water is the existence with reference to ocean. Gold is the existence with reference to ornaments. Wood is the existence with reference to furniture. They're all relative causes. For this whole Jagat, including time and space, what is that which lends existence to time, space, and all innumerable countless forms of mobile, immobile, living, non-living beings? What is that? So what is that Brahman which obtains in the form of existence of the universe? I experience the universe. Universe is cosmos, is time, is space, is water, is elements, element, every element is means that easiness is existence. Easiness enjoyed by every form, name and function, every object, every element, everything here is what? Brahma. Just as every wave, existence of every wave is water, existence of everything here is Brahma, including time and space. So we understand that absolute reality is in the form of existence of the universe. So existence is Brahma. Okay, existence is Brahma. Existence of the ocean is water. Existence of the ornament is gold. Existence of the furniture is wood. See, the all relative causes. And it's the whole Jagat. Existence of this entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, is Brahma. Now the question is, what is that Brahman which alone is in the form of existence of the universe? Okay. First, Tatastha Lakshanam is the Lakshanam which helps us arrive at Brahman as the existence of the universe. Is it clear? Tatastha Lakshanam helps us arrive at Brahman as the existence of the universe by presenting Brahman as the Jagat Karanam, cause of the universe. What is that Brahman obtaining in him of existence of the universe? We need to know the Swarupam. The next mantra presents the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahma. Is it clear? Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. Let us see the mantra. Let us see the first mantra also once. And here, we have already seen in the first chapter, first chapter of the Upanishad, we have seen this beautiful mantra. Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam achakshashrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susokshvam tadavyayam yadbhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. Already, the nature of that Brahman, Aksharam Brahma, has been discussed in the sixth mantra of the first chapter. Now you're going to see again the Swarupam of Brahman, the essential nature of Brahman. The Brahman, which is of the nature of existence, which is of the nature of existence, which self-existence, which alone is the form of the existence of the universe, is what? That is discussed. Swarupam. The Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman is presented in the second mantra. Let us read it now. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. You must memorize mantras as you are learning, you must memorize mantras. Very important. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Aprano Hyamana Shubhraha. Aprano Hyamana Shubhraha. Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. Aprano Hyamanaha. Shubhro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. Let us read like this. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Sabahyabhyantaro Hyajaha. Aprano Hyamanaha. Aprano Hyamanaha. Aprano Hyamanaha. Shubhro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. Shubhro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. Shubhro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. Shubhro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. So here, let me read the verse again. Divyaha, divyaha hi amurtaha. Divyaha hi, the visarga preceded by short vowel followed by ha mahaprana, a consonant, becomes sakara, repa, again ukara, then gunasandhi takes place. I don't want to sandhi class here, but I wanted to remind you. Divyaha hi amurtaha. Divyaha hi amurtaha. It is not in our grammar now. Let us see only the meanings. Divyaha, first word. Second, hi. He is a, he doesn't have specific meaning. He admits indeed. He. Then amurtaha. He plus amurtaha. What sandhi? You can know. Amurtaha. Divyaha, first word. Second word, amurtaha. In between we have he. Third word, purushaha. Every word reveals the reality in terms of its nature. We'll see that. Purushaha. Fourth word, sabahyabhyantaraha. Sabahya. Sabahya. Abhyantaraha. Sabahya. Abhyantaraha. Sabahyabhyantaraha. Or abhyantaraha. Sabahyabhyantaraha. Sabahyabhyantaraha. So now fourth word. Divyaha, amurtaha, purushaha, sabahyabhyantaraha. Fifth word. Again, he. Again, one more he comes. He, indeed. Ajaha. He plus ajaha. He, ajaha. He, ajaha. Now, five words have come across. Divyaha, amurtaha, purushaha, sabahyabhyantaraha, he, ajaha. Next, apranaha, sixth word. Apranaha. Apranaha, again one he comes. He. Apranaha, he. Amanaha, he plus amanaha. Apranaha, he, amanaha. Shubhraha. Sixth, seven, amanaha, seventh word. Shubhraha, eighth word. Shubhraha, eighth word. Again one he comes. He. Aksharat. He aksharat hyaksharat. How many ends and these you can make out? Hyaksharat. He aksharat parataha paraha. Aksharat parataha paraha. Divyaha he amurtaha purushaha sabahyabhyantaraha he ajaha. Apranaha, hi, amanaha, shubhraha, hi, aksharat, parataha, paraha. You have get four times hi, hi, hi. Hi means indeed. Sometimes hi means but, depending upon the context. Mostly hi is used to adjust the meter, which also gives the meaning of indeed. So if you remove four he's, the rest of the words are the words revealing the nature of reality. Swarupam of the vastu reality, Brahman. Therefore, each word is a swarupa lakshanam and the whole mantra consists of words revealing the essential nature of Brahman, which alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Already we have no doubt now. We are 100% very clear. Yes, Brahman is in the form of the existence of the universe. What is that which is in the form of existence of the universe? It is said, Divyaha, Amurtaha, Purushaha, Sabahyabhyantaraha, Ajaha, Apranaha, Amanaha, Shubhraha, aksharat paratav paraha. Aksharat paratah paraha. Nine words, nine expressions revealing the nature of the reality, surupam of the Brahman. Understand? In fact, The Swarupam means essential nature, original nature. Now here, generally if we say, if we take any Upanishads, in Taittiriya Upanishad, we come across the word Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Or in Mundak, in Atharvas Upanishad also we say, Satchidananda Atma. Today, birds come and disturb us. Lots of birds and peacocks also, so many peacocks. Okay, peacocks make such a lot of, you know, very big noise. Thank God they're not around now. They'll come out later. Okay. So, we keep Bhuta Yajna for water, for some grains, so they come. So here, we have Satchidananda. When you look at reality as Atma, the same reality is also implied by another term, Atma. Why? The reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness is implied by the term Brahma. The same reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness is implied by the term Atma. Two different words implying the same reality in terms of its different natures. Swarupam. And we have Satchidananda Atma. Atma is of the essential nature Satchidanandaha. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is how Upanishads present the Swarupam of the Atma. And what does the word Sat mean? Or Sat or Satyam. Satyam Jnanam Anantam. There, the word Satyam means Sat. Sat means what? Existence. Existence. Existence alone. We say chair is. This existence of the chair is. If we say tree is, existence of the tree is. If we say house is, existence of the house is. Please listen to me carefully, very important lesson. If we say space is, there is existence of the space. Existence of the space is. Existence is. And that existence without the form. Now, when I say existence of the house means existence. House is means house plus existence. Tree is means tree plus existence. Man is means man plus existence. Space is means space plus existence. Time is means time plus existence. And without this time, without, now just remove cognitively the space, house, time, etc. What is this? Pure existence. Is it clear now? Pure existence. That pure existence is meant by the expression Sat. Sat means pure existence. Which is also said to be Satyam. Next. Chit. The next word we have is Chit. Chit means Chaitanyam. See, Sat is equal to Sat, Satta, Satyam. Three words mean the same existence. Then Chit, Chaitanyam, Chitihi means consciousness. The pure consciousness. Why pure consciousness? Not associated with any form and name. If I say chair is, the existence of the chair is, means existence is with the given form, form, name and function called a chair. House is means existence plus a given form, name and function called house. But pure existence, pure consciousness means existence or consciousness unassociated with any form, name and function. Is it clear now? Pure means don't think there's no impure consciousness, impure existence, unassociated with the form, name and function. Then Anandaha or Anantam. Anantam means limitlessness. And Anandaha means happiness or fullness. Anantam or Anandaha mean the same. Anantam Brahma, Anandaha Atma. Anandaha, happiness, fullness. Which means Anantam means limitlessness. This is the synonyms actually. Why? Because being limitless is being happy. Being limited is being unhappy. Is it clear? Being limited is being happy. Being limited is being bound. Being bound is being unhappy. Whereas being limitless is being free. Being free is being happy. Therefore, limitlessness is equal to happiness. Is it clear? This is how you have to arrive at. How can you say limitlessness and happiness are one and the same? This we have to understand. This is how, okay, generally Upanishads present the surupam of the reality in terms of its nature of pure existence, pure consciousness, or limitlessness, or infinitude. And here, this one particular expression, infinitude or limitlessness, does not reveal sorupam, but it is a definition which negates what Brahman is not. Okay, which means there is no limitation on the part of Brahman. So the un comes. Therefore, ananta means un comes. It's a negative particle. Therefore, it's a negative statement implying that there's no limitation on the part of Brahman. Anyway, so now what is that actually what is that reality obtaining of existence means? We say, of course, we'll arrive at later on, the pure consciousness. It is the pure consciousness alone is in the form of existence of the universe. With reference to ocean, water is the existence. With reference to furniture, wood is the existence. With reference to ornament, gold is the existence. And with reference to the entire cosmos, pure consciousness is the existence. Grossest examples I give to something understand much subtlest truth. So consciousness, the pure consciousness. And how do we arrive at it? The pure consciousness. And the Shastram says, the reality of the universe is the reality of the individual also. Because in every individual human being is not separate from the whole. When you say the whole cosmos is inclusive of every individual, just as every wave is part of the whole ocean, the entirety of the ocean, every individual being is a part of the whole cosmos. Therefore, the truth of the entire cosmos must be the truth of the individual also. If we say the truth of the entire ocean is one and the same water, and a wave which is part of the ocean must have the same truth. Is it clear? Therefore, the truth of the entire cosmos is one and the same. Therefore, every individual, every one of us being part of the whole, the same truth must be the truth of every individual. Therefore, Shastram says, there's another secret, Shastram says, the reality of the universe, as long as you're searching in the external world, you will never arrive at it. the reality of the universe is available for recognition only as the innermost essence of the individual, as the content of I. This Shastram gives us the clue. Okay. Other we do not know. Shastram makes it very clear. Where, how can I arrive at the reality? I understand this prakriya helps me understand Brahman being existence of the universe. Karya Karana Prakriya helps me understand the fact Brahman being existence of the universe. But what is the Brahman which is in the form of existence of the universe? What is that which is in the form of existence of the universe? To arrive at that, Shastram says, the reality has to be arrived at, recognized, only as the innermost essence of one's own self, as the individual, obtaining as one's own self, as the very substance or the content of the I, the first person singular pronoun I. And the first person singular pronoun I, only when it comes out of the mouth, it is an expression word. And before it comes out, it is already there in the form of a thought. Every word expressed is an expression of manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the I, the first person singular pronoun, which is used by all of us to refer to our own selves, that is also an expression of cognition, I cognition. That's a cognition which rises in the mind. And this is the first and the foremost of the thoughts, first and the foremost of cognitions, first and the foremost of manifestations of knowledge. If you ask me what is the first and the foremost of the manifestations of knowledge, and what is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge, if you ask, it is the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Because before I, there's no other knowledge possible. Know that. Any knowledge of anything in the world can rise in the form of a thought only after the rise of the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Do you agree with me or not? If you do not know you are, you cannot, there cannot be knowledge of the world. You know you are, therefore, knowledge of the world also is possible. Therefore, Shastram says, the reality of the whole Jagat is available for recognition as the very Swarupam, as the truth of the mind. Again, the truth of the mind means it's available. The mind also has so many thoughts, so many cognitions. We have to go to the dead end of the mind. There's no dead end of the mind. We say that thought, that cognition, with which alone the mind begins, okay, is said, looked upon as the dead end of the mind. What is that? The cognition I, or I am. The knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. And the Shastram says, if you ask what I am, and you will discover the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. You will discover knowledge, pure knowledge, or pure abstract, formless, pure consciousness as the truth of I. And for which we have Shastram presents the another prakriya called Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. And that prakriya, you understand, if you ask, what are you with reference to this universe? And you will say, of course, I am the knower. With reference to this universe, I am the knower of the universe. And the universe is an object of my knowledge, object of my experience. Okay, if you are a knower, if you are an experiencer, the world is object of your experience. Definitely, there is subject-object difference. Knower-known division. And definitely, subject cannot become the object. Object cannot become the subject. Because subject is different from the object. The subject of knowledge, knower, is different from the object of knowledge. Subject is the knower, object is the known. Subject is the experiencer, object is the experienced. Therefore, anything which is far away from you is indicated by the pronoun that. That is a tree, that is a car, etc. And when the objects are very close to your, close to you, the individual, and you use the pronoun this and it, you come to it and this. Still objects, so there's a beautiful, what is an object? If you ask, what is an object? It is not a grammatical definition of an object. It is a philosophical definition of an object. An object is that anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than first person singular pronoun I is an object. Okay, what is an object? The question comes. Anything and everything indicated by any pronoun that, this, it, these, those, other than the first person singular pronoun is an object. Got it? Therefore, and you see, okay, anything you can, it's very easy for objectifying to point out things other than the body, mind, and complex as that and this and object, object, object. You never mistake the object for the subject. You never mistake the known object for you, the knower. You're very clear. That is a door, that is a car, that is space. I am the knower. I am different from the known. You're very clear. And when we follow the definition, anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than first person singular pronoun, I is an object means. And you, how do you refer to your body? You say, this is a body. Because body is much closer to you than the, even your dress. The dress is, dress covering the body is also close to you. You can say, this is the dress. This is my dress. We don't say, I am the dress. You're very clear. This is my dress, you say. So, of course, the dress is an object of your knowledge. And you are different from the dress you're wearing. And you touch your own body, you can say, this is the body. When you refer to the body, you do not use the pronoun I. Even though you mistake the body for the I, still in your understanding, you refer to the body using the pronoun this. This is the body. And now only you understand, yes, I do mistake the body for the self. I but I refer to the body using the pronoun this. And the body is also many parts put together. It's not just body, it's not just the only one thing. The head, hands, trunk of the body, neck, thighs, and shanks, and feet, toes, and fingers. All these aspects constitute the physical body. Therefore, you can say what? This head, this is the head, these are ears, these are eyes, these are nostrils, these are teeth, this is mouth, these are hands, this is trunk, this back, this is front, these are thighs, left thigh, left, right thigh, and you can say all this, these are shanks, this is right shank, this is left shank, this is right foot, left foot, these are feet, these are toes, these are fingers. So use only pronoun. You don't use the pronoun I to refer to your body. Even though you mistake the body for the I, in your understanding, in your behavior, in your transactions, you take the body as the I. But still, when you analyze it, you only use the pronoun this. Therefore, you understand this physical, gross physical body, elemental product, definitely also what? An object of knowledge. Therefore, I, the experiencer, knower, am distinct from the body. Because there's no distance between I, the knower, and the body. Non-body. There's no physical distance. But definitely, I am distinct from the known body. And not only the physical body, there are much subtler aspects obtaining within the body. In terms of sense powers, and the sense powers, there are golakams And we also have sense powers obtaining in each Golakam. In the gross physical body, the Golakams are perceptible, but the sense powers are very subtle, imperceptible. The seeing power, power of hearing, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch, they're all known as Jnana Indriyani, five subtle powers through which you sense the external objects. The subtle powers, you don't see those powers, subtle imperceptible powers, Jnana Indriyani. Even those powers are also known to you. Because you know that your eyes can see, you know your ears can hear, you know the powers are there. Similarly, there are powers of organs of actions. The power in your hand, power in your feet, power in your organ of reproductive organ. Like this, all these subtle powers of organs of actions are all known to you. Then you say, then even physiological functions are non-stop happening always. You understand, yes, there's a function of respiration involving inhalation, exhalation. There's a function of digestion. There's a function of circulation. There's a function of excretion. There's a function of attention. All these functions are constantly happening non-stop. They should not stop. That is how you are proved to be alive. And all of them are known to you. So all 15 subtle factors are known to you. And apart from that, there's also antahkaranam. Antahkaranam, otherwise said to be internal instrument of jnanam. And it is the direct manifesting medium of consciousness. Without this mind, there's no way of consciousness becoming manifest. Okay? So manifestation of consciousness is possible because of this antahkaranam. And what is antahkaranam? Antahkaranam again is inexplicably subtlest matter. Subtle matter is the mind. Matter, mind stuff is a subtle matter. And you understand mind in terms of the thoughts which rise. The thoughts which rise for cognitions, experience, everything is perceptions, are all possible because of the thoughts. And the thought in Samskrit is called vrittihi. A thought is called vrittihi. Cognition or knowledge obtaining in him of thought is called vritti jnanam. Is it clear? Vritti jnanam. And the thoughts, and all thoughts means varieties of thoughts. Certain thoughts constitute manaha, consisting of emotions. Certain thoughts constitute intellect, where perception, knowledge, understanding, etc. happens, cognitions. And certain thoughts constitute memory. And there is also one specific thought, ahankaraha. So manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. All four different functional names are given to the types of the one antakarnam, functional names, in keeping with it, where it differs in thoughts. And ahankaraha is nothing but knowledge of self-existence, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. It is ahankara. So it's not wrong. And this is a very special, and this ahankara is only for there, only for a human being. And the mind itself is very special for a human being. Other animals don't have this sophistication of having this mind, intellectual capacity, thinking capacity. No. And we say, even this antahkaram also is object of knowledge. You all with me? Very important lesson. Antahkaram also is object of knowledge. How do we say? All emotions are known to you. Your fear, your anxiety, your anger, your desire, your jealousy, your hatred, your everything, your pain, emotional pain is known to you. You can't describe, but still anger is known to you. So all these subtle emotions are objects of knowledge. Your knowledge is known to you, ignorance is known to you, so intellect also is known to you. You know what you know, you do not know what you do know, what you do not know also. So, cognitions are known to you, knowledge is known to you, ignorance is known to you. So, intellect also is known to you. What you perceive is known to you, therefore perceptions are known to you. So, intellect, and then your memories are known to you. You know what all you remember. You know what all you do not remember. Memory is also known to you. Memory, your own memory is object of your knowledge. So you are the knower of your memory. You are the knower of your knowledge. You are the knower of your ignorance. You are the knower of emotions such as anger, hatred, etc., fear, etc. And you are the knower of your own existence. You are the knower of ahankara. Okay? See, you are the knower. You are not ahankara. Okay? Ahankara is you, but you are not ahankara. What is ahankara? The knowledge of self-existence obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am. And you know you are, don't you? Which means the knowledge of your existence is known to you. Therefore, you are the knower of even ego. You are distinct from the ego. You are distinct from the knowledge of your own existence. You are distinct from the knowledge of the existence of the world. You are distinct from the memories. You are distinct from intellect, ignorance, knowledge. You are distinct from your emotions. So you are the knower of emotions in terms of mind. You are the knower of ignorance and knowledge in terms of intellect. You are the knower of your memories. You are the knower of, you are the knower of your own existence. Is it clear? Ahankara also is object of knowledge. So you are not ahankara, okay? And how do we know ahankara is also object of knowledge? Because this knowledge of self-existence, when it is there, it is known as waking state. Whenever this knowledge of self-existence is not there, it is called a deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, all the thoughts resolve. No thoughts are there. There's not even the knowledge of self-existence, not even the knowledge of existence of the world. And there's blankness of mind. And the blankness of mind is object of knowledge. And the waking state, all the thoughts are there. Mind is active, functional. Then there's knowledge of self-existence. So in the waking state, knowledge of self-existence being there is known to you. The knowledge I am being there in the waking state is known to you. The knowledge of self-existence being not there in deep sleep state is also known to you. Is it clear? Therefore, in deep sleep state, we say there's ignorance. There's a total ignorance of the self. There's no knowledge of self-existence in deep sleep state, which means there is total ignorance of the self. You do not know you are, therefore you cannot even know what you are. In waking state, you know you are, but you do not know what you are. Is it clear? In waking state, you have half knowledge, half ignorance. In deep sleep state, you have total ignorance. These are all very important lessons. Don't take them for granted. In the waking state, you have half knowledge and half ignorance. You know you are in the waking state, but you do not know what you are. In deep sleep state, you do not even know you are. Therefore, you cannot know what you are. There's a total ignorance. Is it clear? In dream, you have dream knowledge of self-existence. Anyway, so the mind is of three states of experience, and mind constantly undergoes change. That is why we are able to have three states of experience are nothing but three states of the mind. And three states of the mind are constantly undergoing change. So mind is subject to change. The three states of experience are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. But all the changing states of experience, the experiencer is there constantly without undergoing any changes. That experiencer who is there changelessly in all the changing states of mind, in all the changing cognitions in the waking state, is one and the same. That experiencer is distinct from the known states of mind. The known mind also, known antakarnam also. Is it clear? And who is the experiencer? Who is the knower? If you say. And always it's better to analyze your own deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, the mind is totally non-functional. No thoughts, no emotions, because all the thoughts remain resolved. When the thoughts remain resolved, there is no manifestation of knowledge. There's pure knowledge, but there's no manifestation of knowledge. The thoughts rise, there'll be manifestation of knowledge. Okay, thought with manifest knowledge becomes what? Cognition. When the thoughts are resolved, there's no manifestation of knowledge. When in deep sleep state, there is pure knowledge is without manifestation because there's no manifesting medium called thoughts. Therefore, we say, but in deep sleep state also, there is experience. Deep sleep state is known as state of experience. Why? Because why the deep sleep state, when the whole jagat is not experienced, there is experience of the experiencelessness of the world. In deep sleep state, there is an experience of the experiencelessness of the world. Absence of the world. Is it clear? Experience of the absence of the world. Which means that experience is possible means there is an experiencer in deep sleep state also. Experience of each state of mind, each set of experience presupposes the experiencer. Is it clear? Therefore, in deep sleep state also, even when no thoughts are there, the experience is there. Therefore, there's an experiencer without whose presence experience is not possible. Who is the one who knows the blankness of mind? Who is the one who experiences the blankness of mind? That knower experiencer is, if you ask, what is the form of the experiencer? Now you have to be with me. What is the form of the experiencer obtaining in deep sleep state? You cannot deny there's no experiencer at all in deep sleep state. Because the experience is there and experience becomes a memory. And you, when on waking up from sleep, you're able to recollect your memory, experience, and you say, I slept well. I did not know anything. Nothing was there. Nothing was there. When I was fast asleep, nothing was there. I did not even know I was. You're able to say all this. How authentically are you able to say, whatever you say, whatever you narrate of the experience you had in deep sleep state. What is the experience? I did not know anything. Nothing existed for me. I did not even know I was. I did not even know the world was. I did not know what happened. This is the experience. And you're able to recollect the experience and you're able to talk about it means the experience is. Experience does happen in deep sleep state. And that experience is the proof for what? Presupposes the experiencer. And who is the experiencer who is distinct from even from the mind? Deep sleep state of mind. That blankness of mind is an object of knowledge. Total ignorance is an object of knowledge. And when there's total ignorance, there's no experience of pain or pleasure. That non-experience of pain and pleasure in deep sleep state is said to be bliss. Whenever there's experience of total ignorance, there is also experience of bliss. Is it clear? Non-experience of pain and pleasure is said to be experience of bliss. And you, on waking up from sleep, you say, you can say the total ignorance and the bliss are objects of experience. Very subtle. And who is the experiencer? Because of whose presence the experience of the bliss and total ignorance is possible. That experiencer, if you search for the experiencer, there's no form. There's no form. There's no form. abstract, inexplicably subtlest. And you have to say that experiencer, knower, obtaining in deep sleep state, who, because of whose presence that experience of bliss and total ignorance is possible, is nothing but pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Shuddham Chaitanyam, Shuddham Jnanam. And why do you give the name, why do you say knower? Is the pure consciousness is not the knower, not the experiencer. But from the standpoint of the experience, from the standpoint of the experience of total ignorance and the bliss, you say the experiencer, knower is a qualification attributed to that formless abstract reality. Okay, there's a formless abstract subtlest reality. There is formless abstract subtlest reality because of whose presence alone the deep sleep state of experience is possible. The total ignorance is known, experienced. The bliss is experienced in sleep because there is a reality, abstract formless reality. And the question comes, that reality knows. It is that abstract formless reality which is there inseparably, distancelessly, but distinctly from, which is there in the deep sleep state, alone knows the deep sleep, knows, experiences the mind. Set of mind. Now the question comes, why does it know? You have to be with me. Why does that abstract formless reality know? Why does that abstract formless reality, which is distinct from the mind, which is not distant from this mind, know? Why does it know? Why does it experience? Here, it knows because knowing is its nature. Can you ask the question, why does the sun illumine the world? Why does the sun illumine the world? Will you ask? You ask sun. Suppose we happen to talk to sun. A Surya Bhagavan. Kimartam Bhagavan Bhagavan Jagat Bhasayate. Why do you illumine the world? If you ask the question, sun will say, no, I don't illumine. Because illumining is not an action. Illumining is the swarupam. That is how Surya Bhagavan is. Why does the fire burn? No, fire doesn't, burning is not an action, it's the very swarupam. Similarly, why does this abstract formless reality know? Knowing is its swarupam. Is it clear now? Knowing is the nature. Therefore, now, very important lesson. We arrive at, we stumble upon the reality in terms of, we arrive at it only in terms of its nature of knowing. Okay, what is beyond this mind? What is beyond this mind? What is that? There is deep sleep state of mind. There's total ignorance. There's bliss. There is object of experience, which means there's an experiencer. And who is that experiencer? Formless, limbless, abstract, subtlest. That is why you cannot use sense organs to know, see. You cannot use sense organs to see, hear the reality. But there is reality. By its mere presence, it knows. Sanyadhi matrena sarvam janati. But its mere presence it knows. Okay. Therefore, what do you say? Why does it know? Because knowing is its swarupam. Therefore, how do you arrive at it? So that there is abstract formless reality because of whose presence and because of whose nature of knowing or experiencing. The deep sleep state of mind becomes known. The total ignorance becomes objectified. The known. The bliss is known. And that reality is looked upon as given the qualification of the knower. Why? From the standpoint of the known. From the standpoint of the known, experienced, the abstract reality is given the qualification of the knower. And it is of the nature. Why does it know? It is knower is none other than reality, which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, because in terms of its nature of knowing, the reality is implied by the term Jnanam Brahma. Or Chit or Chaitanyam. Is it clear? So, the reality, that consciousness, pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing or consciousness, obtaining as the very truth of I. Okay, it is this consciousness from which alone even the I cognition rises. What is I? When the thought comes, then there's manifestation of knowledge, I am. Is it clear now? When the mind thoughts arise, there's manifestation of knowledge. When the thoughts are resolved, when the mind is non-functional, there is just pure consciousness. In deep sleep state, pure consciousness is. When the thoughts come, there is manifestation of consciousness. Manifestation of knowledge. When this manifestation of knowledge, then through the sense organ, all everything becomes conscious and the world shines. Is it clear? Exactly, to switching on. You switch on the light, everything becomes bright. You wake up and then thoughts come, the mind becomes conscious, all sense organs function, and your perception takes place, world shines. Therefore, it is the pure consciousness, pure knowledge. In fact, reality is implied by the term knowledge in terms of its nature of knowing. I repeat this word so many times because it's a very important line. And it is this knowledge alone is in the form of existence. Okay, water is existence with reference to ocean. Wood is existence with reference to this furniture. Grossest examples. The pure abstract consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence of the individual, as the content of I, is the existence with reference to the whole jagat. Is it clear? Is the consciousness. Now, let us come to the mantra now. This unfoldment is important to come to the meaning of the mantra. Divyaha. What does the word divyaha means? Divyaha, that which is of the nature of self-effulgence. Now we already understand. And this consciousness is what? Distinct. Distinct from the thoughts, distinct from the mind, distinct from intellect, distinct from memory, distinct from sense organs, distinct from organs of actions, distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, but not distant. Okay? Distinct, but not distant. And this consciousness is one. One. All pervasive. So the consciousness, even though consciousness pervades the entire body, mind, sense complex, it is manifest in the mind, okay? Pervades the entire body, mind, sense complex, and it is not limited by the peripheries of the body, mind, sense complex. It is all pervasive, one, all pervasive reality. That's why we already understood, just as one space gets the name part space because of the enclosure part. Similarly here, this body, mind, because it's body, mind, sense enclosure, the only all-pervasive, indivisible, partless, whole consciousness is gets the name Jiva. Okay? Otherwise, it's all-pervasive. And this consciousness, so It distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, the entire all material products, body, mind, sense complex, all material products. And consciousness is distinct. And it pervades the entire body, mind, sense complex, and goes beyond the body, mind, sense complex. Means what? It is not limited by the peripheries of the body, mind, sense complex. And what happens? Sometimes the body does fall apart. When the body does fall apart also, then there's a time the body falls apart. Body gets disintegrated. Then consciousness continues to survive. Even when the body falls apart, when the body is cremated, buried, body gets disintegrated also, consciousness continues to exist. But that consciousness which continues to exist will not be available for interaction or transaction. Consciousness which continues to exist even after the fall of the body will not be available for interaction or transaction. So, because consciousness is not available for transaction interaction after the fall of the body, we should not mistake it for non-existent. But we do mistake. Is it clear? Because consciousness was there before the birth of the body, consciousness is. After the birth of the body also, consciousness is in the form of the body, mind, sense complex, all its functions. And even after the fall of the body, consciousness continues to be there. Changelessly, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, all pervasively continues to be there. But after the fall of the body, there is no body. Mind is the manifesting medium. Mind leaves the physical body. Therefore, manifestation is not there. Consciousness is there. Manifestation of consciousness in the body is not possible because manifesting medium leaves the physical body after death. Departure of the mind from the body is death. And when does the mind leave? Who decides this? Who decides this? Prarabdha karma. Bhagavan, the karma phala data, the Bhagavan name of order, determines, isn't it, the departure of mind from the body. Whether COVID comes, something else comes, people will leave when the part of the karma gets exhausted. When the mind leaves the physical body, there's no manifesting medium, therefore there's no manifestation of consciousness. If there's no manifestation of consciousness, we should not mistake it for what? Absence of consciousness. See, non-manifestation of consciousness should not be mistaken for non-existence of consciousness. Is it clear? Suppose if in front of your face, you keep the mirror and you see the reflection of the mirror. If you take away the mirror, your face continues to be there, only reflection goes. Similarly, when the mind leaves the physical body, mind also does not die. Mind goes out to get a different body to wear a new dress. Mind goes out to wear a new dress and come back. Mind also doesn't get destroyed. The physical body becomes disintegrated. There's no total destruction of anything. Only form changes. And this consciousness which continues to exist even after the fall of the body will not be available for interaction or transaction. This non-transactability of consciousness alone is mistaken for non-existence of consciousness, which then, is it clear now? So this is pain and worries. It is this consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual, which is the only truth of the entire cosmos, is implied by the term Atma. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. And in where Purushaha. Pure ushati iti Purushaha. Sarvam purayati iti Purushaha. The person, the one who fills everything. Sarvam purayati iti Purushaha. புரே உஷதி இத்தி புருஷ, அது ஒன் ஹூ ரிசைட்ஸ் இன் எவ்ரி இண்டிவிஜுவல் பீங் அஸ் தி இன்னர் மோஸ்ட் எசன்ஸ். இஸ் இட் கிளியர்? டூ வேர்ட்ஸ். அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் தட்? ஓகே, நவ் வில் சி, வில் கம் டு திஸ் பாயிண்ட். திவ்யா மீன்ஸ் ஒன் ஹூ இஸ் எஃபல்ஜென்ட். திவ்யா மீன்ஸ் வாட்? திவ்யதி இத்தி திவ்யா, தேவஹா திவ்யா ஆல் மீன் த சேம். தேவஹா திவ்யா மீன் த சேம். தேவஹா திவ்யா மீன்ஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் effulgent. So that which is of the nature of effulgence, that which is of the nature of effulgence means light, that which is of the nature of light. Now let me stop and make it very clear, very important lesson, please listen to me. Why consciousness is also said to be effulgence and light? Because what is light? Anything which illumines is light, isn't it? That which illumines is light. And the sun and moon are called lights. Fire is called light because they all illumine. Sun illumines, moon illumines, and light, fire illumines. Illumines means the opaque things shine in the presence of the light. Is it clear? That which brings something to light is the light. And similarly, sense organs are also lights, because they all illumine the respective objects. Seeing power illumines light. Seeing power illumines forms, shapes and colors. Hearing power alone illumines the sound. Got it? Each sense power illumines its respective object. Therefore, every sense power also is light. Light is not the sense power, but every sense power is light. Is it clear? That which illumines is light. So, the sun, moon and fire are three sources of light. They illumine the opaque things. Similarly, each and every sense power also illumines respective sense object. Therefore, each sense power also is looked upon as light. Light is not sense power, but the sense power is light. Light. Similarly, mind is a light. Light is not the mind, but the mind is also light, because mind also illumines objects through sense organs. And consciousness, light is not consciousness, but consciousness is light, because consciousness illumines the mind. Which mind? Only in the presence of just in the presence of light, opaque thing shines. In the absence of light, opaque thing becomes covered in darkness. Similarly, what is that in the presence of whom, in whose presence, in the presence of which mind shines? Deep sleep state shines, dream state shines, waking state shines. Is it clear? Therefore, light is not consciousness, but consciousness is light. The absolute light. Ultimate light. The light without which no other light can be a source of light. See, the definition is that which lights up is light. That which illumines is light. And my consciousness also illumines your mind, these states of mind, as the illuminator, as the knower, experiencer. Is it clear? So knowing is illumining. Knowing is illumining. Is it clear? I'm doing something very subtle. Hope you're all with me. Knowing is illumining. Therefore, divyaha means reality. Or we can now talk about Ishwaraha. This reality is given the qualification of Ishwaraha, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is essentially of the nature of self-effulgence. Self-effulgent. Bhagavan is the absolute light. Because Bhagavan is of the nature of knowing. Bhagavan is of the nature of knowing. Bhagavan is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, Bhagavan is looked upon. Is the absolute light, ultimate light, self-effulgent light. Divyaha. Okay, next word. Do you understand this word implying the swarupam? Okay, next. Divyaha. Divyaha, chait. Divyaha means that which the Ishwaraha is. Now let us use the word Ishwara. Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, Jagatkarana Ishwaraha is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, he is known by the term Divyaha, effulgent being. Next. It means Bhagavan is not the matter. Even though matter is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not the matter. The next is Amurtaha. Amurtaha. Now you can say Murtam means form. Murtihi, Murtam is a part, form. Murtihi is form. And Amurtaha means formless. If we give literal meanings today, and we'll explain again next class. Formless. Of course, consciousness is of the nature of formlessness. Consciousness is of the nature of formlessness. Consciousness has no form. Okay, maybe we can do, I think I need more time. We'll do it later, okay? At least today I prepared you for the understanding. See, Swarupam, even though you have heard this many times before, to understand, very important, why do we say Atma as the light? And because people, I see that light, this image are wrong. You should not see any light. If you see any light, it's a problem. But why light is not consciousness, but why consciousness is said to be the light? Because it illumines. Okay? Okay. I'll explain to you next class. We'll stop today because I need more time for this. I can't do justice if I rush. And it is something very important, mantras. Every mantra in this whole second chapter is very important. If this whole all second chapter goes inside you, means the whole shastra has gone into you. And what are you going to study other Upanishads is going to be repetition of what you understand here. It's only for assimilation afterwards you need. It'll be very easy for me to teach other Upanishads once I am sure that I have taught you this Upanishad properly. So we'll continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.